Steve. Let's continue worship God with our prayers this evening. Oh, Father, you shined a light in the darkness, and we give you our thanks and praise for that light, the light of your love that came into the world in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's through your Son, Father, that you created everything that is, the things that are seen and unseen. Through your Son, Father, you gave us life. Through your Son, you gave us eternal life to all that would believe in him. And Father, this is the good news that we celebrate tonight. And indeed, this is great, good news of great joy. It's the best news of all. And for those of us who have grown so familiar with this news, Father, that it begins to sound like old news, Father, I pray that you would stir within us, our hearts, a renewed sense of wonder this evening. Astonish us with the gifts of your love. Father, that you would kindle our hearts from the cold and help us to feel within our innermost being those good tidings of great joy. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Oh, come, O ye faithful. Father, I pray that you would humble us like those shepherds abiding in the field. For Father, we have nothing, nothing at all that we can offer you. We possess nothing that you need. We have no gift to give you that pays you back for the gift that you have given us. And Father, we find ourselves in need of your mercy, your forgiveness, and your grace, and yet you brought good news to us. You invited us to celebrate your coming. You made a way for us to become your children. And as we continue with the different Christmas celebrations and activities, Father, we ask that we will all be drawn closer to you. That, Father, that we could be a blessing to those that are around us. Father, it is our sincere desire to portray the Spirit of Christ and remind people of the reason that we celebrate Christmas. Father, right here in our church family, we have all kinds of needs. We lift up tonight those who have lost loved ones in recent days. May they be able to focus on the wonderful times of the past and be comforted even as they go through this time of grief. There are many that are facing serious physical problems and they need to feel your healing touch emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Some are facing surgeries and they need that assurance of your presence that you are there with them. Some are facing financial difficulties and they need your direction and guidance right now, this very moment. Lord, look down inside of each of us to see where there are hurts and feelings and discouragements and frustrations. Any and all of the ways that we need you. Meet us there at this very point today. Tonight, we specifically lift up Barbara Adams, Milton Beach, Richard Brannan, Glenda Sue Carlton, Buddy and Jeannie Cook, Rachel and Tiffany Creasy, Lenora Gregory, Yasuko Griffin, Ed and Kim Johnson, Nina Kendall, Barry Kirby, Jean Kohler, Greg Laffin, Michael Lambert, Aaron Lannon, Mary McLean, Cassandra McNeil, Pat Medley, Bob and Terry Miller, Sandy Mills, Tammy Norris, Cynthia Rigsby, Alan Rivers, Susan Soto. Father, we continue to intercede on behalf of Marion and Julia Williams and their family for Ski and for Holly. And we pray that in your love and mercy, you will surround them and bring them health. And we pray for the family of Barbara Martin as they go through this time of grief during this special time of year. As always, Father, we lift up our missionaries around the world. We pray for Tulik and Iona in the Ukraine, Father, that you would bring to the end the war that is going on over there, that they would be continue to be able to minister the gospel to people that need to hear the good news. We continue to lift up Mirek Kulik and his ministry in Poland as he reaches hundreds and hundreds of people. Father, we pray for Angel Figueroa as he preaches on the streets in Ecuador. Father, we pray that you would be with him, give him strength, and give him opportunities to reach those people that need to hear it the most. And we pray for Gary Beach as he continues to prepare soldiers to go out into the field to be the Lord's army and to be missionaries all around the world. We pray that you would give him the tools and the strength to impart into these young people the things that they need to know. Father, we pray that this service tonight, that we would continue to focus on you and your goodness and blessing. Father, we want to hear from you, and we know that you do speak to us when we just pause and quiet ourselves and just listen to you. So, Father, now we open our hearts and our minds to you. And hear us now as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, guys, again, thank you for being here. Have you ever thought about, let me ask you this. Has anybody ever received a bad Christmas gift? Anybody? Okay. I don't want to tell this on myself, but I remember one time I was in another church. I won't mention any names because I have some friends that hear from that church. And I received, like, you know, as a school teacher, we got, like, coffee mugs. Like, I have a million coffee mugs. If anybody needs a coffee mug, don't buy one. I've got plenty. I'll just give them to you, right? So, anyway, I got a coffee mug with some candy in it. So, we were having, like, a Christmas party for the staff and stuff. And when we got there, I'm thinking, like, you guys know me. I just forgot. So, what did I do? I grabbed the coffee mug with the candy in it. I thought, what a perfect gift. You know, it's a cute little mug. I forgot what was even on there, but it had like Hershey's Kisses and some mints and stuff in there. I thought, man, this is going to be great, right? So I give it to the guy, and man, everybody's happy and stuff like that. And I just see this kind of scowl on his face. And I'm like, what? He calls me over there, and he shows me the little tag that was inside that the student had given me and said, hey, Mr. Cook, thank you for being such a wonderful teacher. I went, you know, Russ, I don't know how that got in there. I don't even know how that got in there. What, bad Christmas gifts. I pulled up online. Listen to this. Worst Christmas gifts. Here's one. When I was 10 years old, my aunt had to get me a gift. They exchanged gifts. So Christmas morning, I open my gift and I find a Christmas sweater along with a pair of my aunt's underwear. Apparently, she was doing laundry and wrapping gifts at the same time and got the two mixed up. Yikes. Like, aunt. Here's another one. This was bad, y'all. The worst gift I got was a book called Coping with Being Adopted from Santa when I was in high school. It was news to me. Here's another one. The worst gift was I had mentioned to my uncle, man, I wish I could grow a beard like you. Well, come Christmas time, my uncle hands me a present he got me. I unwrap it with excitement. And what do you know? He shaved his beard in a Ziploc bag. Now, you would think when you're opening gifts, right, that the recipient probably either there's got to be another gift somewhere else or they don't really know me or what are they really trying to say to me, right? Because there's this unspoken maxim about giving gifts, I think, and it's like we get the gift to kind of match the person. You know, and a gift tells us what we know or what we think about that person. I mean, think about it. When we struggle, and I'll be honest with you, we struggle. You know, Sandra and Steve are like our closest friends. We struggle. Like, what are we going to get them? What are we going to get them? So I got them a mug with some candy in it. No, not really. But it's like you want to give something that shows that you know them, but that it comes from us. You understand what I'm saying? Like, for example, suppose I went up to Margie and I said, hey, I got you this for Christmas. Tony, show that picture. What do you think Margie would do? I mean, this is not really a Christmas gift. This is something you win at skee ball, right? But, you know, there are some people that seem to kind of miss out the idea of the gifts. And so tonight I want to talk about what does the coming of Christ, that gift of Christmas, what does it say about the giver, God himself, and about us tonight? Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You see, the whole idea of this season, Christmas, is not about us giving gifts to each other. It's about the one gift, the greatest gift of all, that was given to us by God the Father. He gave us a gift over 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. And that gift definitely tells us something about the God who gives us that gift. So this deep question that we have, how does God see me? When God looks at me, what does he see in me that he would give his very best gift? I want to look at some scripture and who we are in light of God. Because if God was really making a list and checking it twice, like a fat, bearded, jolly man that we know, we would understand that we would all, every single one of us, be on the naughty list, right? We would be on the naughty list. In fact, Paul says this in Romans, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all have sinned. You know, we understand that in this, that God created this perfect place. And he created man in his own image. In fact, he created things. He spoke, and these things were created. And then he made man, and he made man so special, he made man in his very image. And he placed him in this garden, and he gave them the tools and everything that you think they would need. And yet they went their own way. It wasn't enough. We had to have more, you know? And so they sinned, and this perfect picture that God had painted was broken. And we think, well, that was a long time ago. That's not me. I'm basically a pretty decent guy. You know, I'm not that bad, right? What do we call two-year-olds? What do we say about two-year-olds? It's the what? Terrible twos. There's not a book that says, okay, teach your one-year-old to do this, and when they're two, they will be in the terrible twos. Now, I had Alex. Alex went through the terrible threes and the terrible fours and the terrible fives and the six and all the way through high school. And then when he went to college, he finally got out of the terribles. But you see what I'm saying? We don't have to teach a young kid how to lie or how to be mean or to say things. No, I hate you. I don't love you. We hear that from our kids. We hear that from our friends. We see that we would all be on this naughty list. None of us are good. Romans again says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everyone is a rebel. Everyone is far from God. And yet God gave us sinful, polluted, broken people. He gave us a special gift, and that was his son, Jesus Christ. Matthew says this, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with a child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So what does it say about us at Christmas? What does God really give us at Christmas? Well, let's break it down. I'm going to give you three things, the 3 points, right? First thing, he gives us a baby in a manger. He gives us God in the flesh. See, there's nothing intimidating about a little baby. In fact, the baby has to be loved, has to be protected, has to be wanted. And so he came, emptied himself of the glory that was due him, and he came and he took on flesh in Bethlehem, and he was born for us. We have been studying the book of John, and in the book of John, it says this about Jesus. This is in John chapter 14. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And remember, in Exodus, no one's seen God. But Jesus is saying, from now on, you do know him and you have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? The goal of Christ's mission on earth was to reveal the character of God the Father. And John affirmed this in the very opening of John, where it says, no one has ever seen God. Then he says this, the only God who is at the Father's side, and that was Jesus, the only God who was at the Father's side has made him known. So John starts off saying Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. And then it says here, no one has seen God the Father, right? No one has seen him. But the God who is at the right hand of the Father has made him known to us. He gave us God. He showed us what God the Father is like. And since no man could see the Father and live because he's so holy and righteous, Christ came to show us the character of the Father. And the unity of the Father and the Son was no secret to the disciples. Jesus himself declared it to them when he says in John chapter 10, I and the Father are one. The words and works of Jesus bore testimony to his divinity. Remember, in John, he is the great I am. All of the I ams that he is. And he ends up by saying that I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And there is no other means to salvation. So what did he give us at Christmas? He gave us himself as a baby, God with us. Another thing he gives us is hope and redemption. We're in a season of hope. As we just got out of a contentious election cycle, it seems like it's still going to keep going on. I mean, I see occasionally news, someone's suing them, someone's got, you know, it's like it never ends. And it's like we're in this period of like, will things ever go back to normal? And then I start scratching my head, go, what is normal? You know, I don't even know. But we live in a time where we need hope, where we need love, we need joy, we need peace. And he came to give us hope. At this time of year, there are stories and celebrations, and we hear voices singing and joy to the world. Tis the season to be jolly, fa-la-la-la-la, and flashy advertisements with all the pictures, right, of the families. They're perfect, right? All the families are perfect. The tables are just packed down, about to fall in with food. There's twinkling trees, and there's stuff like presents all up under there. And then we see, you know, the manger scenes where it's just quiet looking and peaceful and serene. And even the animals are lowing. The cattle are lowing, you know. Christmas is a joyous time for family and togetherness and celebrations. But for many people, that's exactly what it is. But for others and many others, it's not. It's a time of hurt, heartache, intense reminders of loved ones that as we look across the table at an empty chair that used to be filled with someone that we love. It's a time where some people are going through deep depression and isolation. They're feeling lost and alone. They don't have anybody to celebrate life. And even though some of us may feel that at this time of year, we can find our hope in that Christ is always with us. He gives us that hope. Psalm 23 says, even though we walk through that valley, he's with us. Jesus even said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And then as bad as we are, he gives us the hope for a future. He says, you know what? I'm giving you a new life. The old has passed away. The new has come. I want you to come and join my family. I'm going to give you a new name. And you're going to feast forever one day with all of the people who've believed. We're going to sit at this huge table with loved ones gathered from every nation and tribe. And we are going to worship Christ. He gives us a hope that this isn't all there is. It's not always going to be like this. But he also gives us hope to live in the moment, that things will get better. The living hope, the promise of eternal life, and Jesus is our hope. We remember in Genesis, going back to that story, what happened when they broke? What happened? God immediately gave hope. Adam, what are you doing? It was that woman you made for me. Eve, what were you doing? It was that serpent you put in the garden. So he looks at the serpent and he goes, You're going to bruise her heel, but he'll crush your head. That's the hope. This world will not bring you down. That Christ is the hope, a living hope that is in all of us. Sandra preached a powerful sermon last week about why do we live so powerless? We have everything available to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, and yet we just kind of go through our lives like it's not real. The hope. Jesus came in flesh as a little baby that Christmas so that he could bear our punishment on the cross and give us the hope. In Revelation chapter 22, it says this: someday God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There will be no more pain, and the former things have passed away. It says in chapter 22, he says this: and there shall be no more curse. When I preach a funeral, it's not difficult to preach a funeral for someone that you know loved the Lord, because you know that they are in where they're supposed to be. They've gone home. And it hurts us for a little while because we're still here. And we're going to miss them. But you know what? They're there. And a place has been prepared for all of us. And that is the hope that we have in Christ. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, he says, we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. So he gives us a baby. He gives us God himself. He gives us hope and joy and peace and love, all of those neat things. But here's the big one. He gives us Jesus. And you remember what we read? Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus came to be Emmanuel, God with us. He was promised in the Old Testament. He's still with us today. What a great gift that God has given us, that he will be with us forever and always. I will never leave you nor forsake you is what he tells us in Matthew. No matter how lonely we may feel, no matter what valley we're going through, no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter if our family is abandoning us or whatever is going on, he is still with us. He's God with us, Emmanuel. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says this: for unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. How many of you need a counselor in your life? A wonderful counselor, someone that will listen to you when you cry out in pain or in anxiousness or whatever that you're going through. There is someone that loves you and is there for you and counsels you and walks beside you, a paraclete. The Holy Spirit, a wonderful counselor, a mighty God. We need a mighty God. You know what? The Bible says that there are wars taking place in these heavenly realms. We don't even know about it. And if you open up the book at the beginning, God spoke. And at the very end, you know, come Lord Jesus, amen. It's like the whole thing is about Jesus. It's about God with us, Emmanuel. And if you read the Bible and you study it, you're going to see that God wins. I've heard there's a thing going on, love wins. Love wins. So no matter what you want to do, you know what? God's going to love you and love. That's not what wins. God wins. Do you understand that? And again, what Sandra preached about on this past Sunday is Jesus has already done the work. Jesus does it. We don't do it. Jesus does it. So Jesus is God Emmanuel with us, and he's here with us, and he's walking with us. He's this wonderful counselor. He's this mighty God, but he is also an everlasting father. You get that, an everlasting father. We live in a time and a culture today where fathers kind of come and go. Families just split up. We see, you know, as long, we think the Bible is, hey, if I'm happy, then God's happy. But if something makes me unhappy, like I'm going to trade my wife in for somebody else, you know, that it's okay because God wants me to be happy. And modern counseling will tell you that, because they want you to be whole. They want you to be healed. And so what they do is they kind of go to what's going to make you whole and what's going to make you happy. Not what's going to take a lot of work. You know what? I don't like my kids. I want to trade them in and get new kids. It's not an option. Jesus doesn't work like that. He's an everlasting Father. When he comes in, he loves you from the moment that you are born in him. Actually, he loves you before that. It says, while we were still sinners and far from him, he loved us so much. While we were far from him, going our own way, doing our own thing. But when we are born in him, it's like we've given a new name, we've got a new family. He is our Lord, he is our Savior, but he's our everlasting Father. He's not going to leave. And he is going to celebrate with you when you go through highs, and he's going to carry you when you go through the lows, because he's Emmanuel, God with us. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, but yet he's also the Prince of Peace. How many of you need peace in your life? Peace. There was a hymn, an old hymn, Peace, Peace, Wonderful Peace. That's what we need. I remember the commercial, remember the Coke commercial, what the world needs today? There's only one thing the world needs today, Coke. No, what the world needs today is peace. Stop the wars, stop the fighting, stop the bitterness, stop the envy, stop the arguing with one another, just peace. To come into the presence of God, to just stop. Just to be quiet and let him pour himself over you. He's the Prince of Peace. And someday, those of us that have trusted in him will spend eternity with him and understand and see him face to face. You know, back in the day, they had what was called heralds. You know, hark, the herald angels sing. The heralds were one, they would go to a town because they didn't have TV or internet, thank goodness. They would go into a town and they would just hear ye, and they would shout out the good news. And that's what God does for us during this time of the year. Good news, I have a gift for you. What is the gift? We're saved from our sins. We are adopted into a family. We have God's power and his strength and his love within us. We have been given a local community of faith that we can gather together and pray with and pray for each other and to love one another and to celebrate with one another. And we can experience kingdom life now. We don't have to sit there and just wait for Jesus to come back. We can have it now. So what does God think about us? I think what he thinks about us is that we are deeply broken, but we are more loved than we could ever imagine. That God gives us grace and redemption and a family, and he gave us Jesus. I think, how would I respond to like a carnival gift? I mean, as a teacher, I used to get some gifts that were like, there was one time I got a gift card that had like $1.79 on it. I mean, it was just some weird number. It was a dollar something, but it wasn't even an even number. So it's like, okay, well, that's what they thought of me. How do you respond to a gift like that? What did I do to deserve this, right? But how do we respond to God? What did I do to deserve this? Nothing. He did it. The problem is a gift has to be received and a gift has to be opened. So I just want you to open that gift tonight and let Jesus be the Lord of your life.